The message that I want to share with you all today is on sharing our faith, because it has also been put on my heart that sometimes we are nervous, sometimes we don't know exactly what to say, but this is why we're here. We are here to be able to share the gospel with others, to show people the light that we get to carry throughout each day. And so what I want for us today is I want us to feel equipped, prepared, and to act, to go out and to compel people to follow this Jesus that's impacted our lives so evidently. So that's my goal for today. Hopefully we meet that. So I want to start off with a story. I'm full of stories. This message is full of stories, so hopefully you guys don't get bored with them. But in college, I was a camp counselor, and I ended up working at that camp full-time afterwards. But this job taught me many things because I got to work with the youth. And so it was from ages 8 to 18, and it depended on the week which age you'd work with. I much rather work with the 16, 17, 18-year-olds opposed to the 8 and 9-year-olds. I had the 8 and 9-year-olds one week, and I had one kid who he would throw these tantrums, and he would, at any given moment, he would just lay down. He would just lay down on the ground, and he would be motionless, and he wouldn't move. And one day, he's laying down on the football field that we had, and I walked up to him, and I go, "Hey, buddy, like, how long are you going to lay here?" And he said, "I don't know, eternity." And I said, "All right, so this is not going well." And he did lay there, not for eternity, but for a very long time. So I wasn't as equipped for them as I would for the older kids, but I had an older group one week, and these were like 17, 18-year-olds. And how camp was kind of structured is you'd go do like high ropes courses, zip lines during the day, and then at night we would have a message and we were able to debrief kind of what we did throughout the day. The whole point of it was to correlate, like, if we had fear, if we had nervousness, if we had this, how do we actually translate that into our relationship with Jesus? So again, at night we would have worship, a message, and then we'd go back to our cabins to debrief. And one night, one of the boys pulled me aside and he goes, "Christian, I want to accept Jesus as my Savior." And I was like, "Man, that's incredible. I'm so excited." He's like, "Will you guide me in that?" And I was like, "Yeah, I think." And it was the first time that I was put in a position where I was like, "I don't really know how to do this. I don't really know what to say in this moment." And so the Lord was gracious to me and he gave me words to say in that moment. But I was like, what a disservice as a follower of Christ it was for me to not know how to facilitate a conversation like that. And I didn't want to ever be put in that situation again, and I don't want y'all to ever be put in that situation again. So that is the premise of this message today. So first, we are going to open up our Bibles to, hold on, I'm going to put this microphone down. It's going to be 1 Peter. So 1 Peter 3:15 is where we are going. All right, so 1 Peter 3:15 says, "But in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect." So I want to emphasize, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect. Now, this was kind of written in a defense of when people are coming at you of like, why do you believe what you believe? You want to be able to defend it. So I want to take that in both the ways. If we want to be able to defend our faith, but we also want to share Christ effectively. And so we always want to be prepared, as Scripture tells us. I had another moment when I was down in it was inner city Atlanta, and there was a school that I was able to go down and like be a part of their chapel. And I thought I was just going to be a part of it. I thought I was just going to listen in. And before the message, the principal came up to me and he goes, "Hey, do you have a word to share with the kids today?" And I said, "No." I said, "I sure don't." And he looks at me with this like puzzled look and he goes, "You should always have a word to share." And I was like, "You're right." I was again put in a position where I had the opportunity to share Jesus with a group of kids And I was just woefully inept. I didn't know what to say. I didn't have a word to share. And it rains in my ear all the time of, you should always have a word to share. The Lord is constantly working in our lives. We should always be prepared to give a defense, to give an answer for the hope that lives within us. Always. So the thing is, though, is we have to be able to be equipped. We can't just walk into that all willy-nilly and be like, yeah, we can go ahead and do it. So yet again, I have another story for you. I was a horrific student in college. I mean, I was really bad. It was lucky if I made it to class, boom, we're doing great. And I had one course, it was public speaking, and it was the only course I did decent in, but it was for a three-hour class once a week. And so it was brutal. It was on Wednesday nights for 3 hours. And I was given the task of giving a presentation on Stonehenge rock formation. I did a total of about 8 minutes of study on Stonehenge rock formation before I gave my presentation on it. So I get up there, and this is exactly what I did. I get up in front of the class, and I said, Stonehenge rock formation, who can tell me about it? And I had someone raise their hand, and they raised their hand. They're like, Stonehenge rock? I still don't know anything about Stonehenge rock, so if you do, that's awesome. But they were like, you know, it's this and that. And I was like, that's beautiful. That's great. Who else can kind of expound upon that? Like, who else can tell us a little bit more? And I'd call on the next person, and they would call on it, and they would say a little bit more. And I'd say, oh, that's beautiful, but there's one more thing that I'm getting at, and someone else. And I'm like, yeah. So the entire presentation was made off of not what I knew, but what off people were telling me about. I was learning about Stonehenge rock formation. I didn't do well on the assignment because I wasn't equipped. I was not ready at all to talk about Stonehenge rock. I put no sort of time or effort into preparing for that message. And while I can probably do that with Stonehenge and not feel a great amount of conviction that I don't know about that, we should not be that way with the gospel. We should not be that way with the word, with scripture. We should be equipped and ready to share. So let's turn to 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17. Second Timothy 3:16 through 17. And I lost my bookmark, so you're going to have to bear with me for 1 second here. So 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17 says, all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that a man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. So we know now that we have to be ready to give a defense for our faith anytime, and we have to be equipped in order to do that. And I think there's 3 ways that we can be equipped in order to do that. So the first one is that we need to be able to memorize scripture. We need to be able to have scripture written in our hearts. And this is something that I'm terrible at. And it's funny, every time that I want to give a message, it's like, these are all things I feel like I'm really bad at. And so the Lord is like, hey, but that's okay because I'm not bad at it. And I can equip people through that inept ability. So memorizing scripture, ways we can do that, obviously we're reading scripture every day, right? We want to grow in our relationship with the Lord. We can write that down throughout the day. We can keep on reviewing it. We can go back at night and review it again. We can tell people, hey, hold me accountable. I'm trying to learn this part of Matthew. Ask me about it randomly so that we can commit that to memory. Because when we're asked where to go, where to guide somebody in a conversation with Jesus, we need to be able to be prepared to have an answer. So let's turn to Romans 10:9, because this is one that I wish I would have had in my back pocket when I was put in the position to share the word with that kid at camp. So just so that y'all have it, so that if you are asked, you know exactly where to go, Romans 10:9 says, because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That is a beautiful place to start if someone's asking you about how to start a relationship with Jesus. You can start there and you can move forward. And that's one of those verses that would be great to have memorized, to be able to guide somebody in that conversation. So I think the first step to being able to be equipped in sharing our faith is to be able to memorize scripture. Number two is to make a personal connection. If you don't have a personal connection with someone when you're trying to share Jesus, it's going to fall on deaf ears. And what's helped me a lot is to be able to share personal stories from my life where I've been able to grow in Jesus. And maybe it was a very difficult time where I had to lean on Jesus. Maybe it was a really good time where I saw the glory of Jesus in a beautiful way. But being able to put that into personal terms to somebody levels the playing field a little bit. You're not just preaching at them. You're saying, hey, I'm a person too. This is the difficulty I've dealt with. And let me share a little bit with you why I follow Jesus. So if we have scripture memorized, if we make a personal connection, and then the last step, which I think we do so poorly so often, is to follow up and disciple. It's, guys, we're not here to just get people to raise their hands and say, I'm following the Lord, and we say, great, go on. And then we don't follow up, we don't do anything. We are called to disciple. That is the premise of most of the New Testament, is discipling these churches, is Jesus discipling the disciples to be able to go out and disciple more. So if we're able to have that conversation, follow up, because you know how much it means to that person, if you call them a week, a month, a year, 2 years later, and you say, hey, I was just thinking about that conversation we had. I'd love to know where you landed with it. Is there anything I could be praying for? Is there any questions that I can give you answers to? And if you're like me, you're like, well, what if I don't have the answers for everything? Awesome. Nobody does. But tell that person, say, I might not know that answer, but I will get back to you, and then follow up. That follow-up is so important when sharing with people, because we live in a world of selfishness, and we live in a world where people don't love and care for each other. If we show that love and care, it shows something outside of this world. And I would argue that's Jesus. That's what we're showing them in that follow-up. And in that, coincidentally, as I was doing that same class that I gave my message, my profound message on Stonehenge Rock formation. What a beautiful formation that was. But they taught us about elevator pitches. So in business, what you want is, if you're put in an elevator with somebody who you want a job with, you want an elevator pitch. You want 30 seconds to prove to this person why they should hire you. And you want to always be prepared. And I thought, what a cool thing to translate into our relationship with Jesus. And please don't take this as me being legalistic to have like this thing memorized that you need to be able to do when sharing your faith. But I think that it's good to have it in our heart to say, man, if I was given an opportunity, if I was given 30 seconds with somebody to share Jesus, what would I say? And so what I would love to encourage y'all to do is have that. Have that in your back pocket. Have the scripture that you want to go to, where if you're given the opportunity, you're not like me where I was like, man, I don't know what to say. You're like, no, I know exactly what to say. I've been preparing for this, and I'm equipped for this, because that's our duty as followers of Jesus. Something else I found that helps so much in sharing the gospel and sharing Christ with people is being able to ask them questions. I was sharing Jesus with this guy in college who was an atheist, and he started off really angry. He started off like he was mad that I believed in Jesus, and he wanted me to know that. And I recognized right off the rip, this was not going to be one of those things where I just needed to give him information. This was something where I needed to listen, and I needed to ask him questions. And as I did, I slowly saw the guard fall down. He slowly stopped being angry, and he wanted to know a little bit more. And I wouldn't validate the things he believed, but I would validate how he felt. You know, I'm angry because of this, and I'm like, man, I see that. I totally see how someone could be angry in that situation. And you see the guard fall down, because when we approach it in love, as 1 Peter 3:15 says, in kindness, those walls fall down. And I'll tell you, the minute that you start arguing, the minute you get angry in your heart, you've lost. You're done. That is not how we approach a relationship with Jesus. We have to approach it in love, because they have to see something in us that's so different from this world that they crave it. And they go, I don't know what that is, but I want that. I want that so desperately. And lastly, I want to be able to instill emotional equity. Y'all, yelling people that they're going to hell if they don't believe in Jesus is not the way to save somebody. It's to build relational equity with them. And we do that by just doing life, being in community, asking questions, following up. It's helped me a lot to just, like, if I'm going down the road praying, be like, Lord, who should I talk to? And I'll just get people to call them on the phone, talk to them, see how they're doing. And through this, you're building relational equity. So when that opportunity arises to share Jesus, it's not some random person. It's like, no, it's Christian. I've had many conversations with him. That's why he's talking with me about this. We can't just be throwing it out when we don't have any basis in order to do that. So relational equity is so huge. And so I wanted to look at the people who have done this really well, the great evangelists of our time. So I looked up Billy Graham, Martin Luther, and these guys obviously had fantastic, you know, ministries where many, many people came to the Lord. And I kept expecting to find something that was just revolutionary. Like, they had the magic sauce. They had this. And I was like, I just want to be able to know what it is. And you know what I found? They're willing. They were willing to answer the call of Jesus. They were willing to tell people about his name. Because I watched, like, Billy Graham growing up, and it was all of our stories. It was like, you know, he was a normal kid, doing normal kid stuff. God called him. He didn't want to. God called him. He didn't want to. And then finally, he's like, all right, I'll do it. And I think, what if we all had that mentality? How many more Billy Grahams would there be? Now, I don't want to make light of that Billy Graham, Martin Luther had a gifting from God. They had a gifting of evangelism and sharing their faith. And many of us have gifts, whether it's teaching or prophesying or faith. You have a gift from the Lord. But hear me with this. Just because evangelism isn't your gifting, it's not an excuse not to share Jesus. Okay? It's so often we're like, well, that's for this. They're outgoing. They speak well. That's for them. No. If you're a follower of Jesus, it's for you. We're all commanded to share our faith. And my prayer is that we have this yearning, this burning desire in our hearts to start sharing, because we have that secret sauce. We have that secret sauce that I was looking for in our hearts, and it's the Holy Spirit that we're able to go share and to tell the nations. So that's how I believe that we can prepare for being able to share Jesus. The second aspect, and for those Baptists, we got 3 points to this message. This is point number two. So put your bullet point number two. So first point, preparation. Second point is action. So for that, we're going to go to Matthew 28:19. So Matthew 28:19 says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." What is so profound to me about this message is that this was one of the last things that Matthew recorded that Jesus said before he left the earth. And if it's something that Jesus deemed important enough to tell us and then be gone, we should probably pay attention to it. And this is going back to the point I made in that it's not enough to just share Jesus and walk away. Hey, we got another one in the kingdom. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. No, like, we are called to disciple, to follow up, to be a part of their life, because that discipleship compounds and compounds. And I tried to do math before this sermon. It didn't turn out well. Not a math guy. But the math I was trying to do was that if each of us went out and shared Jesus with one person in Union County, and they shared Jesus with one person, they shared Jesus, how long would it take us to spread the gospel to every single person in Union County? If you're good at math, maybe you can run those numbers. Here's what I know. Not long. It doesn't take long. But it's about discipling. It's about following up with people, and it's about actually carrying that message in your heart. But what I think is fighting us is this comfortability that we've gotten in church. And y'all, this has been a conviction on my heart that church is so beautiful, and it's such an amazing place. And I'm sitting here listening to worship like, wow, what a gift that we have. Like, y'all, that we get to openly come here, and we get to hear the word of God, and we get to praise Jesus together, and we get to have community, and we get to worship him. But guys, that's not the end-all be-all. This is the launching pad. But we've gotten so comfortable. We've gotten comfortable in our communities, in our friends, and we're like, I like it like this. And Jesus says, that's not my message. Awesome. Be encouraged. Love the people that you're around. Come here. Enjoy it. But this is just the beginning. This is where we're spurred on to go out and spread the message. We should have a burning compulsion in our heart to be like, I have to tell somebody about this. This joy, this thankfulness, this truth I carry in my heart, I have to go tell people. Is that burning desire in your heart? Because if I'm being honest, for a lot of times it's not for me. I get really comfortable where I'm at. I like the way it is. But that comfort leads to staleness. It does not lead to more numbers in the kingdom. So a question I want us to each ask ourselves is, are we being selfish with our time in church? Are we being selfish in our community, in our little clique, in our group? Are we holding that to ourselves, or are we sharing it with others? And so some of the opportunities to share that I want to talk about would be like work, school, grocery store, opportunities that are just normal for us, but we can take it and we can share. And so I'm reading this book right now by Timothy Keller, and it's called Every Good Endeavor. And it's been a really, really cool book because basically it's about how God has instituted work in our hearts to be able to glorify him. And a really interesting point he made was that, you know, we always complain about our job. Man, I don't want to work. I do dock work, and my guys tell me probably, I don't know, 8 times a day that if they won the lottery, they wouldn't be working anymore. And I say, I know. But the truth is that God put work in our hearts. Even before the fall of man, he gave us work. Now, sin made it a striving, but we had work in our hearts long before sin came. And so we can use that work in order to glorify the Lord. And so I want to read a little bit out of this book that I've been reading. And it says, consciously seeing your jobs as God's calling and offering the work to him. When you do that, you can be sure that splendor of God radiates through any task, whether it is a commonplace as tilling a garden or as rarefied as working on the global trading floor of a bank. As Eric Liddell's missionary father exhorts him in Chariots of Fire, you can praise the Lord by peeling a spud if you peel it to perfection. Your daily work is ultimately an act of worship to God who called and equipped you to do it, no matter what kind of work it is. And I thought about this because no matter what we do, whether we're retired, whether we have a job, we're all working at something every day. And are we doing that work to show people, acting in a way that there's something supernatural inside of us? And that convicts me all the time. Like, in our task, are we doing it to the very best of our ability to where when someone looks at it, they go, wow, that's awesome. I mean, they're putting everything they have into it because the gifting of God allows them to do that. What a beautiful thing. Are we having our conversations at work, at school, in the marketplace, are we having it to where it honors the Lord? Is the way we're talking about politics honoring the Lord? Is the way that we're talking about our sports team, our jokes, is honoring the Lord? All of these things are a part of sharing your faith because people see you a certain way. Are we guarding that and treasuring that every single day to make sure that people are seeing Jesus when they see us? But guys, something I am so passionate about and I've heard so many times is people tell me, they go, well, I don't really like talk about Jesus, but I show people in my actions. And I say, amen, praise the Lord that you are acting in a way that shows people Jesus. I love that, but that's not enough. What that is that makes you a good person. And I don't know if y'all are reading the same Bible that I'm reading, but it does not say if you're a good person, you go to heaven, okay? It says if you know Jesus, if you accept Jesus into your heart, admit that he is Lord and that you are a sinner, you have to speak the name of Jesus. So yes, show him in your actions. That's beautiful. We should all be doing it, but it's not enough. We have to speak the name of Jesus in school, in work, and everywhere. We have to speak the name of Jesus. And so our last point, point number three, is to compel. All right, so we have to prepare, action, and now to compel. And for that, I want to go to Luke 14:23. So Luke 14:23 says, and the master said to the servant, go out to the highways and hedges and compel people to come in, that my house may be filled. And I love this message. And if you're here at Vertical, this is one of our, you know, I think we actually have it on a wall somewhere, but we love, well, it's back there, compel. We love this message. And this man, he invites all of his friends in, and they all have excuses, you know, why they can't come in. And he says, all right, well, my kingdom's going to be filled. So this banquet hall is going to be filled. So go out and compel people. And I just like to imagine this dude running out into the streets and being like, y'all aren't going to believe what's in here. I'm talking feasts. I'm talking robes. I'm talking banquet hall. Just come in. Just come in. And what person wouldn't want to answer that call? What person wouldn't want to come into that? And guys, are we sharing that same tenacity in our pursuit of Jesus? Are we compelling people? Do people see your life and they say, man, I want that. I don't know what is in that person, but I have got to have more of that. Or are we this stale, stagnant, just hold off in our own little group people? Nobody wants to be like that. We have to be able to compel people through our actions, through our talk, everything that we do, that we are serving a supernatural Father that does not make sense to this world why we're acting. Why are we thankful in the things we're thankful for? Why are we talking about the things we're talking about? Because we have a Father that is so great that we can't help it. Guys, that is infectious if we carry that throughout each day. And so Jesus isn't like, just go haphazardly, you know, tell people about the faith. He goes, no, compel them. Tell them. Tell them what's happened in your life. Tell them the beauty of who I am, and they will come. So we need to be able to compel, and we need to make sure that every aspect of our life aligns with the message so that we can compel. So it's not counterintuitive to how we're living. And so I wanted to do something as we're closing out here in worship team. You guys can go ahead and come on up. I'm really big on action, point number two. So often I sit in church and I'm like, man, that was good. And then I leave and I'm like, yeah, I'm going to go eat this. And then I'm excited about eating. And then I just totally forget. And like, that stinks. I really hate that I do that. But I wanted to give us a couple minutes because I want us to have a moment with the Lord that we can call attention to someone in our lives that we can share Jesus with. So what I want to do is I want to give us just a minute or two of quietness in your own heart that you can pray to the Lord to reveal somebody to you in your life that you could have influence with to share Jesus with. And I pray specifically. Pray specifically for a name of somebody. And that doesn't mean that it has to be, you know, you rush out of church and call them. Maybe it is. Maybe it's that it's, hey, start a relationship with this person so that you can build emotional equity with them, relational equity with them, so that you can actually share Jesus with them, so that they'll hear you. Maybe it's that you just need to be kinder to this person so they can start seeing Jesus in you. Or maybe it's that you just need to go tell them about Jesus. So I want to give us a minute to just pray for that specifically and give God a time to respond. So often we pray and we're like, amen, and then we go. And it's like, well, what if he had something to say? You know, like we didn't even stay and listen for that. So let's give him a moment. I'm just going to be quiet here for a second. And I just want us to pray, Lord, reveal somebody to me specifically that I can share your message with, that will have ears to hear, that will know you as a personal Savior. So we'll go ahead and give you a minute to have that prayer.